We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No more mocks. This is a real deal. Want to talk about the draft? Call, text, or tweet us. Now, NFL Draft Central on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Presented by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
For the Bills draft, Ed Oliver, 9th overall. Joseph Duarte, Houston Chronicle.
If he's used properly, like McDermott said, he can be so effective. And if you pair him with the rest of the line that they have there, you know, that could just create so many more opportunities, and it makes them even tougher. But, you know, it was just really odd because they weren't creative enough with Ed Oliver at Houston.
The odd thing being how the Houston Cougars used Oliver. Sean McDermott gets his defensive tackle, his replacement for Kyle Williams, the three technique guy.
You can just smell it. When you're around a good football player, the guy that wants it, right? I mean, it's no different in your line of work. When you're around people that want it and they're passionate about what they do, you can smell that. You can feel it.
I smell Howard every day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's men in speed stick. Just so you know, it's not passion.
Yeah. Oliver goes 9th to the Bills. The rest of the draft, Kyler Murray goes number 1 overall. Ian Rappaport today has tweeted out that one team to watch for a Josh Rosen trade, the Dolphins. The Dolphins stayed put. They drafted Christian Wilkins. The Jets stayed at 3, drafted Quinnen Williams. The Patriots end up getting N'Keal Harry, one of the two receivers to go in the first round. Full coverage of the draft throughout the day. We've got 5 hours of One Bills live on the way from 10 to 3. NHL playoffs last night, Boston beats Columbus for a 1-0 series lead. The Blues beat the Stars for a 1-0 series lead. NBA Game 7 on the way between Denver and San Antonio after a win for the Spurs. And those are your sports headlines.
803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. What else grabbed you from round one last night? The Raiders, remember Ian Rappaport said they're getting rid of the scouts, they're booting them out because there's a surprise pick?
Cleveland
Farrell.
Surprise pick.
I mean, a good talent, right? And a guy that maybe people thought as a first rounder, but not fourth.
No, that's the whole thing about the draft, especially if you have multiple picks. You know, if you only have one and nobody wants to trade down, you say, well, we like this guy and we're picking here, so we're going to take him. You had 3 picks, and plenty thought you might be able to get Cleveland Farrell in the 20s.
Right, or even trade a little further down. But whatever, that's the guy they wanted. They got it worked out to help the Bills, that a guy was still on the board that might have gone. They could have taken Ed Oliver at 4.
Fully admitting that I don't know who's going to be good, none of us do. Right? There's a lot of crapshoot to this. Boy, Daniel Jones does not look the part.
I know, but
he looks the 6'5" part.
Yeah.
But the interview and the idea of commanding or going to New York,
right?
He just seems like the a timid kid.
But Eli probably looked that way coming out of Ole Miss.
That's probably true.
And apparently, I would say this. I'm not going to get on Gettleman's case. If I'm going to rip him last year for not taking a quarterback, and he loved this guy, okay. 6'17", like he's getting criticized for, why didn't you take him at 17? Why didn't you do... If you love the guy, go get your quarterback. And they love this guy, and they think he reminds them of Eli Manning. And again, who you might have said at the time, oh, this guy's going to get eaten up by the New York media. You know, good luck with all the stuff. Plus, how it all played out with, you know, Rivers and the draft and everything. Whatever. I'm not getting on Gettleman's case. They wanted a pass rusher, right? So they end up getting a defensive player at 17. And if they love Daniel Jones for whatever reason, take him at 6. Don't screw around. I have no problem with them taking Daniel. I'm not going to tell you whether he's good or not, because quite honestly, I didn't watch Duke football. But Gettleman took the guy he felt was our guy. And fine. I have no problem with what they did.
I guess the issue could be they could have taken their quarterback at 2.
Yeah.
And they won't have Saquon Barkley in that scenario. Right. But then they could have Josh Allen, and they could have kept Odell Beckham. And you know,
the Beckham thing to me would be more puzzling than anything else.
Yeah.
You want to help out this guy down the road? But it's funny, if you look at it, Gettleman said last night, Who's to say Jones doesn't sit for 3 years like Aaron Rodgers?
Three.
He used the Aaron Rodgers comparison last night. Like, they for whatever reason, they believe in Eli Manning. So I think it goes back to last year's draft. If Gettleman's sitting there thinking, I got a few more years with Eli, let me get the running back here. I still get Eli. I can get a quarterback next year. I still don't get the Beckham trade. But I think they feel like Eli is going to play forever. It's funny.
Do they care if he's good?
Apparently not. You saw when they did the season tickets for life and a Giants fan won season tickets for life. All the Giants media guys that I follow are immediately tweeting out, well, good for him. He's going to watch Eli Manning for the next 100 years. Yeah. Like, they really believe that Eli's their guy. And yeah, Gettleman said last night, there's no rush to play Jones. He could sit for a few years. I don't know what they're thinking, but I think the GM felt, I wanted to get that game-breaking running back last year. He holds off on quarterback. He looks at the class this year. He gets his guy. He still gets a defensive player. I'm not going to make fun of Dave Gettleman. They desperately needed to get a quarterback.
Well, I'm going to make fun of Dave Gettleman, but maybe not right now.
Well, we'll see. I mean, who knows if the kid can play or not. Right.
He traded Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I still don't understand that.
Well, anyway, to the Bills. I mean, I don't need to dwell on Gettleman. Ed Oliver. Got a middle name? The Horse Whisperer. That's not a good nickname. We'll find something else.
I thought one of the things that was interesting last night in terms of the stories that we were hearing last night was Trey Wingo on the ESPN coverage. I was flipping back and forth. I wanted to hear what both networks had to say about Ed Oliver. And Wingo was talking about how, you know, Oliver's attitude and his self-confidence, this was not said in a negative way, but he gave a story about Oliver, his freshman year at Houston. So here he's a very successful high school player, you know, five-star prospect, had scholarship offers from Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, goes to the University of Houston. Okay, and I said, I think in part because his brother was there and the dad wanted the brothers together at Houston. So he's in his freshman year at Houston. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Freshman year in high school. The guy before him in his high school program who played that position goes on to the University of Texas. Big-time program, obviously, in the state. That guy comes back to the high school, and Ed Oliver walks up to him and said, hi, I'm Ed Oliver. I'm the guy who's going to make people forget about you and that you played here. So he's just, Boy. He's got a little bit of swagger to him.
Right. The one scouting report was that he's a trash talker.
Yes, yes. And a little bit of, and I was going to say attitude, but I think when you say someone's got attitude, it's a negative connotation.
Can I get action on him getting in a fight in training camp right now?
Oh, in the workouts with Carolina?
Or training camp?
At Fisher?
Oh. I want action on Ed Oliver getting in a fight. A trash-talking rookie defensive lineman.
Yeah. So which offensive lineman does he run his mouth at who blows his stack and gets into a fight with him? This will be a camp storyline. But he's very confident. And, again, I think it gets to one of the other things they were talking about last night. He's very – obviously he believes in himself, but he got to the point where I think he was dominating at the University of Houston after his first 2 years. Didn't he – I got to look this up. I thought he might even have declared like before his junior season, like he was going to the draft. And, you know, he gets hurt eventually. And then there was, there was the talk about, hey, shut it down. Don't go to a bowl game. Don't do this. Don't do that. He was ready for over a year now to get to the NFL.
He declared in March of 2018.
Yeah, so before his junior year.
I do plan on leaving. Draft. I wish I could stay another year, but it's my time to go.
Right. So I think he was, the old chomping at the bit and to get to that next challenge of the National Football
League. When you know you're going to go high. And as recently as May, Todd McShay had mocked him to go number one overall.
Mm-hmm. Because there's talent. There's talent. There's ability. Look, the...
He won the Outland Trophy in 2017, the first freshman or sophomore to win that award.
I think he was All-American. I don't know about maybe both years, at least one of the 2 years as an underclassman at the University of Houston. So there's no question about his talent.
He was a finalist for the Nagurski Award, which went to Bradley Chubb last year. Mm-hmm.
Okay, look where he ended up in the draft. Right.
Yeah. So an underclassman, dominant, and the story is that Houston didn't even use him right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, because if you look at his stats, I got to pull him up. He doesn't have, like, eye-popping sack stats. He's got really good tackle for losses, but he doesn't have a lot of sack stats, and that might be partly due to they lined him up over the center all the time. And if you're watching the clips last night on either network, NFL Network or ESPN, they all said the same thing. They all talked about how, he's better used, how the Bills are going to use him. Let him shoot the B-gap. Let him play off the guard. Don't put him head up over the center, which is what Houston did. So maybe that limited some of his sack stats. But it sounds like he is a really good combination, a guy who's got speed to shoot the gap and beat people, but also some of the clips last night, you saw him just push offensive linemen back into the pocket, that he can bull rush a guy and get to the quarterback as well. Kurt Warner on NFL Network last night, you know, was talking about, you know, with Brady, with, you know, with him and with the great quarterbacks, it's not edge rushers, it's pressure up the middle, and that Ed Oliver is exactly the kind of guy who can help the Bills get pressure up the middle on Tom Brady, and that's an area where they have needed help, where they haven't had that great success in recent years. You got Hughes, you got Lawson, you have some outside ability, but what do you have coming up the middle? This guy is now, in theory, going to fill that big need.
How about the guys that are still available? Some of these players, you know, mock drafts are funny. Greedy Williams is still available, right? That's a guy that was mocked as high as 9 for the Bills.
I think he was in the green room last night. I think he's one of the 5 guys who was there.
Byron Murphy.
Another corner.
Same thing.
Right? Yeah.
Jawan Taylor. A tackle.
That's right. Yeah.
As the fifth pick goes off the board.
He was like a mock top 10 for a lot of people.
Yes. I thought, okay, Hockenson, Oliver, Jawan Taylor, and I forget the fourth guy. Hey, all 4 of them are there. This is great. And he ends up falling to the second round. You wonder, you know, the point is often made, and it's a good point, that mock drafts are what gets it wrong. The fact that Jawan Taylor is still here doesn't mean that he's necessarily a steal so much as everybody thought he was better than all the mock drafters thought this guy would go early. Yeah. Every team passed on him.
Right.
So you wonder if the Bills or the Jets or any team that wants an offensive tackle, they might have had him 12th on their board.
Yeah.
And they might get into the office today and think, well, all right, what are we going to do to get Jawan Taylor, who is somehow still here in the second round?
But if you look at it, too, like you said, mock draft versus teams boards. So Jonah Williams goes off the board to Cincinnati. Andre Dillard goes off the board. Houston's on the clock. I want to say I think maybe Dillard went off the board to the Eagles. I think Houston ended up taking Titus Howard out of Alabama State. Now, I don't know anything about Titus Howard out of Alabama State, but – hey, Jawan Taylor from SEC Florida is on the board, and they didn't take him. They went to a guy out of Alabama State. So for whatever reason, you know, Jawan Taylor's shortcomings, which maybe the mock drafters didn't know about, kept NFL teams from taking him.
Something else to consider for the Bills, if they do go offensive line, Cody Ford, Oklahoma, because he's a tweener. And I think sometimes tweeners are also viewed as swing guys. He can. The Bills like offensive linemen that can play multiple positions.
Sure, yeah.
Because they know it, they just know you're going to have injuries. You might have to shuffle things.
Yeah.
So if we're going to plan on shuffling, let's get players that we know can kind of do that. I mean, ideally, you might go for the lock right tackle or left tackle, but in a spot, maybe you'd say, well, this guy's played them both. Maybe he's not perfect at either, but he's a guy that we can get away with in both spots.
WR.
Yeah, I want wide receiver.
I think it makes sense here at 40. It really does.
It's not just wide receiver. It's boundary true X receiver. It's so not a slot guy.
Hakeem Butler.
Yeah, remove all the slot guys.
Like, I think A.J. Brown's more of a slot guy.
Sure. Okay.
Metcalf's a boundary guy. Butler's a boundary guy.
Right. And Metcalf has a lot of the measurables in terms of speed and size. There are some red flags on him, which is why he's now available in round 2.
But he had some injury issues.
Sure.
You know, a couple
and
times.
His shuttle drill was one of the worst ever. He's not a great route runner.
Right.
Hakeem Butler sounds like a great idea to me. There's A.J. Brown. There's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, another good one.
You got a speed guy. Is it right? I can't remember. Campbell or McLaurin. One of them's a real burner. The 2 Ohio State receivers are both on the board. Let's see who else. Kelvin Harmon, NC State. Debo Samuel, South Carolina. There are lots of receiving options. I think tonight's where you get another receiver. And then, you know, hopefully, I still think there'll be a tight end the Bills would value in round 3 if they want to go in that direction.
David tweets in, Jawan Taylor has a knee issue. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
He says it came up yesterday around 2 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, that might explain why there were a handful of tackles off the board and he's still there. 803-0550, Bills fans, Ed Oliver, you can share your opinion on that pick this morning and you can talk about what you want him to do tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Paul in Akron, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Howard, you said a few minutes ago he didn't have eye-popping stats, and that's true. But in my mind, I'd like the pick because somebody like him could disrupt the offense where their play doesn't work. How many times have you seen commentators show a defensive guy and say, well, he wasn't the reason why this guy got a – or he was the reason why this guy got a sack because he got pressure, he got this, and the – quarterback move, and then the other guy got the stat, the sack, or whatever. And I think that this is the kind of guy that could make them type of plays for us, which anytime you could cancel it down for the offense is is great for our defense. So that's what I wanted to say. I like the pick because of that. He won't be some, you know, huge stat guy, but I think he will be effective that way on the defense. So, well, I don't know what you guys think, but have a good morning. Thanks.
I think that's one of the reasons why they picked him. It isn't right. It's can you collapse the pocket? Can you get pressure? Hey, if he gets pressure and, you know, it helps Jerry Hughes get more sacks or Shaq Lawson or Trent Murphy or whoever, great. You know, I mean, ideally, if you get a guy at the defense, like when Darius was in his prime, he had double-digit sack seasons. If you can get that, fantastic. But I think at the very least, right, the Bills want to make it uncomfortable for the quarterback. They don't want him stepping up. They want to get some kind of pressure in the interior. McDermott last night, again, you know, he's talked about how it's critical to get interior pressure. And they asked him last night in the press conference, why? Why do you think, you know, it's so critical to have a guy in the middle of the line be able to generate pass rush pressure? And he said it's too easy to stop an edge rusher, or it's easier to stop an edge rusher than it is an interior guy. You can chip, you can do some different things to help stop an edge rusher, but it's tough to do that with a guy coming up the middle. So, yeah, it isn't just about sacks. You're right. I think it is a guy who can be a disruptive force in the middle of your defense, be in the backfield. And maybe that disruptive force, look at Kyle Williams. Kyle Williams can get to the quarterback, but Kyle Williams can help stop run plays too. And I feel that they're looking at all of that from Ed Oliver. Thanks for the call. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 as we talk about last night and tonight in terms of what the Bills are looking for in rounds 2 and 3. And we think we're going to have Ed Oliver at some point in the 9 o'clock hour. So it was probably a late night for them, I think they flew him back last night, so probably a late night getting in from Nashville, but we're hoping to hear from him somewhere in the 9 o'clock hour.
So this one question on what the Bills could have done, they could have probably traded with the Steelers. Right? The Steelers trade a 10 to take the linebacker.
Yeah.
So measure Ed Oliver against that deal. Would Pittsburgh have come up from 20 to 10 and given you, here's what it cost. They gave up the 20th and the 52nd and a third. In exchange for number 10.
Well, that would have been lovely.
You could have added a second and a third.
Yeah.
To drop down
extra picks
to number 20.
But then you're not getting Oliver.
Right.
You're not getting Wilkins in theory. He goes off at 13 to Miami. Now you're probably not taking a defensive tackle.
Well, the guy that ends up going at 20 is Noah Fant.
Yeah.
Which you would have liked.
Yeah, but I think they really wanted to get a pass rusher.
No, I agree. It's just, it's more than who did they pass on. We're not really talking about who they didn't pick at number 9. Oliver seemed like a slam dunk. If it wasn't Oliver, I don't think it would have been the inside linebacker who went 10. Christian Wilkins would have been a name in that mix.
Let's see. Jonah Williams goes off the board 11. Now that's an offensive lineman.
Yeah, that could be it.
Rashawn Gary, Christian Wilkins. Brian Burns, you could have gone edge rusher. Carolina took him at 16. I'm trying to think who else would have gone here. I don't know how they felt about, you know, a guy like Jeffrey Simmons who is coming off the knee injury, Dexter Lawrence from Clemson. There were other guys on the board, but if you feel this strong that Ed Oliver can be a disruptive force, don't screw around. You know, I was completely happy with them saying, if this is our guy, stay at 9, make the pick. Sure, another 2, another 3 would have been fantastic because now you would add 4 picks in rounds 2 and 3. But if this is the guy you love, don't mess around. Just make sure you get him.
The point is often made, they have 10 draft picks. They probably won't have all 10 make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you need 12? Do you need 13?
Right.
Probably not. Right. It does give you more kicks at the can, and it means that better players end up making your roster. You know, if you drafted 30 players, they wouldn't all make your roster. Maybe 10 would, but the 10 best would. So, I mean, there's a case if you might have wanted them to trade down from 9. The fact that Pittsburgh comes up 10 spots means it was probably available to move down.
But, yeah.
I mean, I'm not upset by it.
Mike tweeted in, happy about the player, relieved they didn't move up. Oliver was one of the few college defensive players that was must-see. Dude is insanely athletic. A freak. And Tom tweeted, and if the Bills can manage to get offensive tackle Taylor or wide receiver Metcalf, I'd sacrifice my firstborn. That'd be great. That seems
drastic.
Yeah. I think you do that for a quarterback, but I don't think this is like moving up for a defensive tackle. I don't think you sacrifice your firstborn for any position other than quarterback.
One thing about expectations here. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, tweeted out yesterday about what you should be expecting from your draft today, from the rookies. And the answer is not much. The players that are picked this weekend do not really impact this season all that frequently. You'll have defensive players that, here it is, Mike Renner. Annual reminder, you probably shouldn't pin your team's hopes to players they draft this weekend. Last year, only 47 rookies played 600-plus snaps.
Okay.
And 15 had pro football focus grades, if you like their grades, over 70. Not even half the teams in the NFL got an impact starter.
Okay.
If you were to project who got impact starters, I mean, the quarterbacks you would knock out.
Right.
Because they might sit or they might be rookie quarterbacks.
Does it equate to wins and losses? I mean, Barkley was an impact player,
he
but
was.
it didn't amount to team success.
Right. The receivers, first-round receivers, N'Keal Harry with the Patriots. Receivers don't.
Oh, this year's. I thought you meant last year's.
No. Okay. I'm just saying, first-round receivers don't generally make a big impact. Mm-hmm. If you were to pick half the teams are going to get an impact starter, would you pick the Bills? Maybe. Is it a position where he, I don't want to use the Rex Ryan term, he starts right off the bus,
mm-hmm.
but he's in. Right?
Oliver?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
He starts
off
the bus.
Isn't he taking like 60-something percent of the snaps? He's your lead guy in there. Absolutely.
So not a lot of teams.
I mean, you got to say competition. He's going to come in. You got to earn it.
Not a lot of teams get production to a significant level from their first-round pick in year one. But, I mean, the Bills have as good a chance of getting it as just about anybody, especially because there were no big-time offensive impact players outside of Hockenson.
Mm-hmm. Right there, right.
It's a defense-heavy draft.
Right. Who else goes outside, takeaway quarterbacks? The next guy to go at a skill position was Fant at 20 to Denver. So you're 11 picks away from taking.
Right.
And then the receivers go after that. So, yeah, it makes sense what the Bills did. To your point about training camp scrap, Ryan tweeted in Ed Oliver versus John Feliciano, training camp fight. Feliciano's a scrapper, both interior linemen that will match up often. I got my money on that being the Bills practice fight number one. 803-0550. Sal's going to join us when we get back. We are talking about the draft. Ed Oliver is a Bill. You can share your opinion on that. You got any questions? You can bring them in with Sal next because we're also talking about what the Bills' plan of attack will be tonight. A pick in round two, eighth overall in that round, and a pick in round three, 11th overall in that round. Let us give away some tickets to go see Wiz Khalifa performing at Darien Lake Amphitheater. Oh, okay, I forgot. You know what? My bad. We went through the tickets. So I will tell you, they're going on sale this morning. See, what I did was, Brayton, see this little piece of paper? It says, tickets gone, mention on sale. And I didn't even read my own note. Yeah, we ran out of tickets. But we have tickets that will be on sale today. The performance is Sunday, July 21st, Darien Lake Amphitheater. And if you'd like to go, just go to livenation.com this morning, and you can get tickets to the Wiz Khalifa show. Sal's going to talk draft with us next, WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal's coming up in a moment to talk about the Bills drafting Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, University of Houston, with the 9th overall pick. Defensive tackles to the Jets and Dolphins, too. Quinnen Williams to the Jets, Christian Wilkins to the Dolphins. The Patriots took a wide receiver, N'Keal Harry, from Arizona State. Kyler Murray was taken first overall, the quarterback from Oklahoma. Other QBs that went last night in round one were Daniel Jones to the Giants and Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State to Washington. Rounds two and three tonight. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock on WGR. The Bills have the 8th pick in round two and the 11th pick in round three. Boston beat Columbus in overtime, 3-2. St. Louis over Dallas last night, 3-2, as the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs opened up. There's a report out of Ottawa that the Senators will interview Jacques Martin for their head coaching job, and the NHL apologized to the Vegas Golden Knights. Spurs beat Denver. That's going to go to a Game 7. Hall of Famer from the Boston Celtics, John Havlicek, passed away at the age of 79. The Yankees lost to the Angels, and the Bisons lost to Syracuse. Your headlines brought to you by the Air National Guard. Get military training, serve close to home, and protect others all around the world. It's time to take off. Find out more at goang.com/now or call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG.
One more, the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill will not be joining the Chiefs for the foreseeable future due to an audio recording between him and his fiance?
Yeah.
That is not good.
Very troubling. And this was the big story on Twitter last night, actually, while the draft was going on. And comments about in regards to injuries suffered by their 3-year-old son. And the fiance is heard on this recording telling Tyreek the son keeps saying, Daddy did this to me.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, you should be terrified by me, he says to his fiance.
And
it's
she
not
says
a good thing.
That I went to bat for you with the investigator.
Oh, I didn't see that, but okay. Yeah. I know she referenced something about how when the son does something bad, you make him open his arms up and you punch him in the chest. Yeah, awful stuff, like never seeing the football field again stuff,
right.
Obviously. And so that's something to monitor from last night with the NFL as well. We're taking your calls, 803-0550. Bills fans, what do you think? Ed Oliver, the pick, what to do tonight? We will talk about some of this stuff with Mr. Sal Capaccio, who is going to be part of our draft coverage once again this evening, and has a nice story up at WGR550.com about who's on the board for tonight. We'll get to that in a second. Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Excellent, guys. Good morning to you.
So, Ed Oliver, let's just start there. Makes sense on a number of levels for the Bills, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I just had this discussion with my wife this morning. She said, so tell me about the player they got. And here's the way I phrased it to her. I said, well, here's the deal. I said, this was pretty much the player that most people thought they would take if he was available to them. It didn't take a rocket scientist to, you know that the Bills would like Ed Oliver, would be interested in Ed Oliver, and would probably take Ed Oliver if he was available at number 9. Sure, there might be other players available that people would think about. But this, I think, going back all the way to his pro day probably at Houston, knowing that Sean McDermott was there, I think going back there, it was safe to say that, you know, if Ed Oliver was on the board, the Bills would probably be very interested in grabbing him, and that's how it fell.
I thought it was interesting, Sal, when you guys were there for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott last night, both guys repeatedly talked about how critical a three-technique player is in McDermott's defense.
No doubt, and sometimes we get caught up in the football lingo, so just for the listeners out there who don't get that sometimes, I'll just quickly explain. The three technique means all your spots where you line up is called a something technique, a number, and it basically starts at 0 and goes out on each side. The three technique is the guy who lines up on the outside shoulder of the guard. So as opposed to what would be a 0 technique or a shade, which would be over the center, and that's the nose guard, he's the next guy in line, essentially. So he's right next to that, but he's not in between the two guards in the center, and he's a guy that can kind of disrupt from the guard to the tackle spot, and he's also a player that can penetrate in that spot. We go back to, you know, the knock on him is he's light, he's a little smaller, but that's also the positive and the benefit of Ed Oliver, which is he is lighter and smaller. He uses that to his advantage to be able to be fluid, to be able to penetrate, to be able to drop back in zone coverage if they want to go to a zone blitz. Some people even thought, I never did, that he would be a linebacker at the next level because of his size. But that's his strength is his size, even though that's also kind of his weakness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about if there is a concern. I guess he checked in at the combine, from what I read. He measured out at 6'2", 287. Was there a concern at all? Do you think there was about short arms or lack of ideal size, any of that stuff?
Yeah, there is. And look, I don't think he can play 87 in the NFL. I think it'd be too, I don't want him to have to maintain that weight.
Yeah, it should be a little
lighter. I want Ed Oliver to beat Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like if he can play at 280, that's fine for me. I think it's a little smaller, but why take away his best asset? If you put that kind of weight and he has to maintain it, you know, I think it might hurt him actually. But he's going to get stronger. He's still a young man, right? He's going to go to an NFL program and that incredible facility they have now at One Bills Drive. He's going to be in their nutrition program and their weight program, and he'll gain muscle mass. He'll gain some weight, but I don't know if I want him maintaining a 285 to 290 type of weight. He can play at 280 and disrupt the way he is. That's fine, but I do think that it's a concern for some teams. Now, it depends on what you want him to do too, and it would be really bad for any team to miscast him as anything other than a penetrating defensive tackle. And you want him, if you said, I want you to be 287 to 290 and play more of the 0, which, by the way, is what he did a lot at Houston, which is interesting. I thought he was maybe misused a little bit there, and he should have been more off the nose. And that's what Sean McDermott said and Brandon Bean said, which is Bean said he will be used differently in Sean's defense than he was at Houston. He was more of the nose tackle at Houston, and now he's going to be the 3 technique. So, yeah, I think that is the concern. His arms aren't that long. There will be guys in the NFL who could probably swallow him up if he doesn't get off the ball. Remember this term, all right? BGO. We're going to talk a lot about BGO in the in training camp. That's ball get off, guys. This guy has an amazing ball get off, and coaches love to say BGO.
I got to write that one down. I wasn't familiar with BGO. I'll add that to the list of sports.
Add it to
terms.
Your text. Add it to your text thing, like LOL and all that stuff. Jeremy,
keep it in mind when you're picking the Bills at 8:15. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, generally speaking,
get off. He has an amazing ball get off. It's really your quickness off the snap. Right. It's watching that ball as soon as it goes. Where's your first step? How quick is it? It's ball get off, and that's how you know coaches will always praise you. BGO. They'll keep repping it, and his is really good.
Having said all that, how important are sack stats? Like, he doesn't have, you know, there were some people were making some comparisons, not to say he is Aaron Donald, but that seemed to be a guy they were using in comparisons with him. And one of the other things they were saying, though, is Aaron Donald had a ton of sacks in college. And Ed Oliver, maybe this goes into what you just talked about, how they were using him. He didn't have a ton of sacks. So his value to the Bills, Sal, how much of it is pass rush? How much of it is sack related? How much do those numbers matter with a defensive tackle?
I don't think he's going to have to put up a number of sacks, right? I mean, but you look at it, last year, the only defensive tackle to even have any sacks on the Bills was Kyle Williams. He had 5.5, I believe it was. He was the only one. There was no other defensive tackle on the team that even put up a half a sack. So, yeah, you'd like him to get to the quarterback because you want that penetration. But that's what it's more about. It's more about disruption. It's more about making sure that, you know, Tom Brady can't step up in the middle of the pocket and he has to stay back there and allow edge rushers to get to him. It's more about making sure that somebody has to be accounted for in the middle of the Bills' defense when, you know, backs are in there for max protection and centers are calling out protection and they know that this guy is here, so we have to account for him. So it's not about sacks necessarily. Sure, you'd love to get those numbers, and I think it'd be a pretty big disappointment if they get out of next season and Ed Oliver has zero sacks, but it's really more about disruption. It's more about making sure that that pocket is not really clean in the middle and the quarterback can't step up and he has to stand back there and he can only move laterally.
I was looking at your list on our website, Sal, of some of the best available players by position going into round two tonight. A lot of good names there at wide receiver. So what are the odds the Bills attack that position at 40?
Yeah, I love these names. Unfortunately, I loved them a lot more until the last pick of the night. I'm a big N'Keal Harry fan, and he went to the Patriots. So, you know, now that kind of stinks, I think, for the Bills because they'll face him twice a year, and this was my favorite receiver in this draft. But DK Metcalf is a really, really good player. And, you know, I think that what's happened through this process is as great as he was after the combine and everybody, you know, praised him, even though he's kind of slipped and we all knew that, you know, he's a little bit stiff, I think it's kind of gone the other way and too many people are criticizing too much and finding things wrong with him too much. He's still fantastic and he's there. He's on the board. So is his teammate, A.J. Brown of Mississippi, two very good players. I'm a big J.J. Arcega-Whiteside guy at Stanford. I think this kid kind of checks off all the boxes in a lot of ways that N'Keal Harry does for you. Debo Samuel, really nice player. Hakeem Butler, Kelvin Harmon. The list goes on. You want some speed, Paris Campbell. There's a lot of guys. I put Andy Isabella on the list. Mm-hmm. He's really just a slot guy. But he also can return. He's a really good return man as well. So I don't think the Bills necessarily going to go that route, but I put him on the list just because, you know, he's still a really good player, even though I wouldn't see him, you know, playing over Cole Beasley.
If they don't go wide receiver with their next pick, what's your best bet? Well, you know, you listed tight ends, offensive tackles, edge guys, cornerbacks. Where would you hazard a guess?
I think tight end is definitely in play. Irv Smith Jr. of Alabama. If you told me coming into this draft the Bills would come out of it with Ed Oliver and Irv Smith Jr., I would have ran both cards up as fast as I could and said, yes, please. I mean, come on, right? That's better than Hockenson and the fifth best defensive tackle. You know what I mean? So I would love that. I think tight end could very well be a spot. But look, I put corner because I do think the Bills are going to be looking for, you know, a corner they can have young, under contract, put opposite Tre'Davious White. And I'm really kind of surprised that Rock Ya-Sin is still there from Temple. This is a guy right out of central casting as far as cornerbacks should look in the National Football League. He's long. He's chiseled. He's gonna be physical for you. I think he kind of does a lot of what, you know, Sean McDermott likes. However, that said, the best zone corner in this draft that almost everybody had going in the first round is still there, and that's Byron Murphy out of Washington. And you want to talk about a scheme fit, he is the best scheme fit, and he always has been for the Bills, but he's still on the board, and I didn't think he would be after round one.
What about offensive tackle? Actually, I got a two-part question for you. When do you think they would address offensive tackle? And do we know for sure if Deion Dawkins is staying at tackle, or is it possible they could move him down to guard?
There are two things that I've maintained throughout the entire offseason that I will still maintain even more so today. Number one, the Bills aren't trading LeSean McCoy. And number two, they're not moving Deion Dawkins from left tackle.
Okay.
So I don't see it happening. I have not seen it happening. I'd still be surprised. I'd be more surprised. But those two things I have said and kind of gone against some people out there who've said otherwise, fans or media or whatever, I've maintained and I still maintain they're not trading LeSean McCoy and they're not moving Deion Dawkins. Sure, anything could happen, but I've never felt that that is the case. I think Deion is their left tackle going into next season, but if they do want someone who can, you know, add to the position and to make sure that they have enough competition, and oh, by the way, if they are good enough, then you can move Deion. Yes, Dalton Reisner is there, Cody Ford is there, Greg Little is there. I would say don't count on Juwan Taylor for that. Juwan Taylor is a right tackle. He is still on the board. He was considered a top 10 pick until yesterday when some news came out about a possible knee injury, and suddenly here we are in the second round and he's still available.
What else? Anything before we let you go, anything else from the first round grab you last night? Wow. Or, hey, great pick. Anything that struck you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Giants, Daniel Jones as their quarterback. And look, I'll say this about Dave Gettleman. I don't love the pick. I don't love the player at number six. But if you're going to take a quarterback, if you say, well, we really like him at 17, we don't really like him at 6, then you probably shouldn't like him at 17 either. Like, if you're going to take a quarterback in the first round to be your franchise quarterback, then you should like him enough to take him to be your franchise quarterback no matter where. And that's the way they felt about Daniel Jones. So that's fine. I mean, he's their taste. He's not my taste to be a franchise quarterback right now. But, you know, we'll see how he develops. I just can't understand what the Raiders did at number four with Cleveland Farrell. Thank goodness. Thank God, John Gruden, if you're a Bills fan. Just thank John Gruden, because Cleveland Farrell at number four allowed this board to fall the way it did. And he is not worthy of the number four pick. He is a good football player. To me, he's basically Shaq Lawson is what he is. And I don't see how he was valued at number four. So, yeah, that was interesting. And then, of course, some of the trades that started happening, Pittsburgh trading up, being aggressive, going after Devin Bush. That was interesting as well. Noah Fant coming off the board a little bit later. You know, so there were some interesting things that happened, but I think mainly it really was in the top, you know, at number four and then at number six. Those were the two things. I think Washington had a really good draft. The Redskins, you know, they waited. They didn't have to go up and get Dwayne Haskins. If they wanted Dwayne Haskins, and they stood where they were, and they wound up getting Dwayne Haskins. And then, I don't have it in front of me, who was their second pick?
Yeah, they traded back in to get Sweat, Montez Sweat.
There it is, Montez Sweat. You're right. Yeah, and like, look, they got a great value at him, too. So I think Washington did really well yesterday.
All right, we will listen for you tonight. As always, thank you for your time.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Sal will be on draft coverage tonight and tomorrow, of course. Round two kicks things off tonight at 7 o'clock. Two rounds tonight, and then 4 through 7 tomorrow. 7 o'clock tonight, 11 o'clock tomorrow. That's our draft coverage here on WGR. Our anchors host tonight will be Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase. Our coverage presented by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys. Brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And also by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
It's the first time Kevin tweeting in. Bill Belichick has picked a wide receiver in round
one. That's right. Yeah, I remember we mentioned that the other day because they were talking about it on an NFL network. He'd never done that. He was more of a lineman guy,
they
linebacker
built the
guy.
Interior. Last year they took a running back.
Yeah, Michelle Wright.
Which is what? Surrounding Tom Brady with good young talent because he's going to play forever?
Nope, he's retiring and they need this guy to help out their new young quarterback.
Oh, okay.
That's why they got N'Keal Harry, because Brady's retiring. I'm sorry, I'm just... Yeah, well, no, and they're desperate at wide receiver, quite honestly, right? They've got
Hogan left.
Edelman and what?
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, but I mean, his age, his injuries. I mean, I don't know if he holds up this year. I think they really that's a good one. And of course, they still need to fill the role at the tight end gap that opened up with or the big hole that opened up with Gronk retiring. All right, 803-0550. Bills fans, grab a line. Give us your opinion this morning on the pick of Ed Oliver. And what do you want to see in rounds two and three tonight? We're talking about that. We'll hopefully hear from Ed Oliver in the 9 o'clock hour, so make sure you listen for that coming up on WGR.
Have to set your board to their skill set and how you think they'll fit what you do. There were offensive players, one went right before us, but there were offensive players still on our board that deserve to be, you know, and will be drafted in the first round. I'm sure some have gone since we've been down here, but no, we were truly, and you will continue to do that. I mean, we're at 40 the next pick, and if it's defense, it's defense. If it's offense, it's offense. We're going to stick to that.
We are all over the NFL draft. Ed Oliver is a Bill. He owns four horses.
Yeah.
Or he has four horses. Let's see if I can borrow one. You gonna whine?
I'm not gonna whine. But I want this is proof, though. Ask me what I'm thinking about.
Sabres.
I'm thinking about the Sabres. Because I always think about the Sabres, and you just directed me to an article where they're blaming William Nylander.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's a blog from a guy who's been a Leafs reporter forever, and he is suggesting that Nylander is a guy you should move on from this offseason.
He's suggesting that they can't because the contract is an anchor,
yeah.
And that is insane.
Yeah, but it's funny. It is this discussion. Too much skill,
not
enough
backbone.
More toughness,
yeah,
need
all
more
right.
grit, need look, more sandpaper.
Okay, okay.
And you know, Brayton made a great point, right? This is the Penguins and Ryan Reeves or what? Great. You want to trade Nylander for sandpaper? Great. Who do you want? What grit? You want Larson and Gergensons? No. I mean, if they're going to trade Nylander, fantastic. It's just, it's going to be a fascinating offseason up there. And if they think that Nylander is part of the problem and the contract is an anchor, call, babe. We'll talk.
It is beyond parody. I can't believe it.
That'd be pretty funny.
All right. Anyway.
This is why we love being close to the Leafs, because it can get crazy up there with all the stuff they talk about in Toronto. Anyway, yeah.
Remember when Phil Kessel couldn't win a cup?
Yeah.
And was an anchor?
Yeah, right.
And then won two?
Yeah.
As not an anchor?
Yeah.
And this year was a point per game player? Yikes. All right, anyway, NFL draft. You got any hot takes? Give me a hot take. Give me your hottest take from last night.
Oh, hottest take from last night. Shoot. Okay, sure. I don't care. The Raiders got the guy they wanted, and so did the Giants. Who cares when they take him?
About Cleveland Farrell?
Whatever. Everybody go, what are you doing? It's the Raiders. They love the guy. Take the guy. You want the guy. Who cares? I really don't care. If that's the guy you wanted, get him. Fine. Done. Boom.
The reality is there has to be one team that occupies the laughingstock spot. And the Browns aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So someone has to
not us.
Right. Someone has to step in, and for now, it's the Raiders.
That was the pick of the night. Even more so, I think, than Daniel Jones.
No. The pick of the night is definitely Cleveland Farrell.
The Raiders going Farrell.
And the reason
like,
it is,
wow.
is because they show all the Raider fans who give the, what? Who?
But here's the crazy discussion. Maybe this is where you talk about mock drafts. No, the pick was not ripped for he is not talented. Right? People think he's a good player. He was part of a very good defensive line at Clemson. That wasn't the reason why the pick was criticized. It was, what are you doing taking him at 4? I mean, you could have gotten him at 10 or 12 or, you know, wherever. You could have traded down. So the pick is criticized not on the player, but the timing, the spot of it. I don't care. They like Cleveland Farrell. They don't trade down to 14 and get him. They stick at 4. They had two other first-round picks anyway. They didn't ignore other needs. They got a running back, and forget what else they did with their other pick. Fine. And whatever. Gettleman needed a quarterback. He waited last year. Hey, Daniel Jones is on the board. Great. If you believe in the guy, who cares? Take him. I'm with Sal. I mean, if you might not like Daniel Jones, you might think it's a bad pick. But if they love the guy, take him at 6. Who cares? What's your hot take?
That hugging the commissioner super, super hard is weird.
I didn't even pay attention to the hugs last night.
Nick Bosa gave him a big, long...
I don't mean
weird in terms of man-hugging man is weird. I mean in terms of players eventually hate that guy. He's not well-liked among players. And he's at times not been great for the league. He's made a lot of mistakes. And to go up there and... It's just this moment where it's almost like they thank him. Thank you for letting me in the league. He doesn't have anything to do with it. So I just always think it's strange. It's a big moment for them, and he's welcoming them. But why is he the gatekeeper to the NFL?
It's funny. When
like I said, this is a hot take. I was looking for a hot one.
Yeah.
I don't really appreciate that whole thing.
When he embraces guys, I always envision this conversation or him. What's he saying to the guy? Hey, welcome to the NFL. Don't get into trouble. Here's your jersey. Let's take a picture. Get off the stage. By the way, what a crowd last night.
Huge.
That was a massive amount of humanity in one place.
One of the best tweets of the night was Lana Berry tweeted, what have you done wrong in your life to show up for that event, to be there?
Yeah.
Because
How far back are you from like 17 blocks back? Are you seeing a giant TV screen with the draft?
I mean, I guess.
ESPN had this overhead camera, and they just it would go right down the street. And it kept going.
It looked like
Times Square. And it was just a wall of people.
It was Times Square.
That's exactly what it reminded me about.
Which you have been to?
I've been to.
And say, never do it.
No, God, no.
So why would you do this?
Oh, I would never do that last night.
Is there open container? Can I bring a beer onto the street? If I can bring a beer out of the bar onto the street, then, you know, okay.
Yeah, I could not believe that many people were lined up to really not see the TV screen in the draft. 803-0550 to join us. It's WGR Buffalo. Ed Oliver is the Bill. We want to get your opinion on that and what you want the Bills to do in rounds 2 and 3 tonight. We are talking NFL draft with you all morning long on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.